Turn to two or three people. Tell them there's victory in Jesus. Amen. There is, you know, victory in Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've got victory. Open up your Bibles with me. This is a little appetizer, not the main course. But I was standing over there worshiping. The Lord put this on my heart to turn to it. So let's look here and let's see what happens. Book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 133. Glad that you're here with us this evening. Amen. First Wednesday of the new year. Amen. How many of you know if you're hungry, we can see some things in the light of God's word. Amen. Psalms chapter 133. It's a short Psalms, only three verses here. But watch here in verse 1. He says, behold, in Mississippi that means look a here. Look a here, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion. Watch this next phrase. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's read verse 1 again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. So here we see that this is not just someone you don't know. This is the people who you could say that are closest to you. How good it is for brethren, people who are close together, for them to dwell in unity. Dwell together in unity. Go down to verse 3, the last part of it. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Where is the blessing? It's in unity. And friend, I'm telling you, the Lord is up to some amazing things in your life and in mine. It's going to be an amazing year for those who will cooperate with the Lord. And one of the things that we need to cooperate with Him in is this principle of unity. I'm telling you what, I honestly believe this, particularly for married individuals here this evening. Obviously, that's the closest of all physical relationships. You got to dwell in unity. I mean, you got to be of one heart, one mind, and one voice. Years ago, when I first started pastoring, the church was struggling in a bad way. And in seeking the Lord put on my heart over there in the book of Acts, where the people were of one heart and one mind and one voice. They were all thinking the same thing. They had, you could say it this way, the same plans. They knew what was to be done. They were all of one mind, one soul. Then they were also of one heart. I mean, they were knit. We talked about this a couple of Wednesdays ago, that you see them having such compassion for one another that without any type of pull from the speaker, without any type of pull from a pastor or a minister, the people were willingly, I mean willingly, selling their possessions, bringing it to the church, the proceeds that they got from the sale, laying it down at the disciples' feet to distribute to those who were in need, just in love with each other in a good way, in a biblical way, just an agape love for their fellow man. Heart of compassion that was wide open. And then they were of one voice. It said they lifted up their voice, not voices. They lifted up their voice. And when they did that, there was great power, so much power that the building began to quake. Such power released in their life. And then, well, let's go over there and look at it. Go over the book of Acts. How good it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Are you in unity this evening? Amen. Husbands, wives, are you in unity? One heart, one voice, one mind. Let's look here in the book of Acts. Let's see where I want to take you here, what part I want to lead you to. One heart, one voice, one mind. They came unto their own company. Let's see here. Yep. Let's go over to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And let's look here. I see, I don't want to get into that. Let's start in verse 24. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. It said, and when they heard that, basically, they came back and reported all that the chief priest and those told the disciples not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And it said, and when they heard that, they were reporting that back to the fellow believers. Notice what it says here. They lifted up their voice. Now notice this, verse 24. When they heard that, they, is they singular or plural? So it's multiple people here, right? Yeah. And when they heard that, they lifted up their what? Voice. Notice it didn't say their voices. They lifted up their voice. There was a unity of voice. There was a unity of prayer. It wasn't just a whole bunch of people praying. They were all praying the same thing. They lifted up their voice. Let's keep reading. And said, Lord God, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, and sea, and all that is in them. Go down to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of what? One heart and of what? One soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now notice this in verse 33. And with great what? Power. Notice what's showing up here. You've got a group of people who are of one heart, one soul or one mind, and one voice. And these people are producing so much power that the physical building that they're in literally starts shaking. Then you see them leave that place, and the disciples, they're not just going out and ministering, but they're going out and ministering with great power. You continue reading here, and if you correlate chapter 5 with chapter 4, everything that they prayed for came to pass in the very next chapter. The Lord stretched forth his hand to heal, and there were mighty signs and wonders done by the hands of the apostles. Well, where was that power being produced? It wasn't just being produced just by prayer. There was unity there. How pleasant it is, how good it is for brethren, people who are close together, to dwell in unity. For it is there that the Lord commands his blessing. Friend, I'm telling you, you need to guard your relationships. Whether it's with close friends or relatives, like I said, especially husbands and wives, employees, all of that. It matters, friend, I'm telling you, it matters. It is in unity that God commands his blessing. What can you do as a husband and wife to get in unity and say the same things about this year? What can you do as a team, a husband and wife team, or if you're a friend, find someone to get in agreement with concerning this year. What can you do as a team to get in one mind as to what's going to happen this year? And then in the middle of all that, keeping the spiritual glue of it all together by staying of one heart. that you absolutely allow no strife to come in between you and that significant other, you and that other individual. No strife. You guard it like you would guard the most valuable possession you have. Guard it, protect it. You know, I was reading a book by Brother Hagin. In fact, I got it up here. And he was talking about if someone came and kicked down your door and said, I'm taking your wife, what would you do? You'd stand up and put up a fight. I know I would. No, you're not taking my wife. Well, he was saying that we're that adamant about natural things. If someone was trying to rip you off at a supermarket, you'd fight for it about these natural things. We need to be that adamant about these spiritual things and stand up to the enemy and say, under no uncertain terms will you bring strife into this relationship. Under no uncertain terms will you allow that spirit of division to come anywhere near us. We are of one heart. We are of one soul. We are of one voice, and nothing's going to divide us. Friend, it's there where it's in that place where the Lord commands the blessing. So be on guard with that. Be on guard with that. And don't allow anything to shake you or move you off of your love walk. When you get in that place, I mean at a new year where you're saying the same thing, you're believing the same thing, and you're walking in love with that significant other, friend, I'm telling you, there's power in that place. And with God's spiritual power, there's no natural power that can match it. Amen. You get His power, His grace, His anointing operating in your life, friend. There's nothing you cannot do. But we've got to learn to watch unity. It's pleasant in the Lord's eyes, friends. We got to learn to watch it. I know just, in fact, this morning I woke up. And you know, oftentimes when you first wake up, I know for me it seems as if that's when I'm most sensitive to the Lord. I think it's because your mind is still a little groggy and foggy. And when your mind gets to talking so loud, a lot of times it's difficult to yield over to the Spirit. But when you first wake up, it seems as if to me, my mind is still kind of rolling over, but my spirit's alive under Christ. And it just seems as if direction comes clearer then. And I woke up this morning, and the Lord, I mean, as soon as I woke up, spoke directly to my heart. Not a voice that you hear on the outside, just an impression on the inside. And I knew I missed it in my love walk. And He dealt with me about this particular area. He said, you were seeking your own in that area. And if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in fact, let's go over there and look at it. We see love here personified. This is something you ought to know like you know the back of your hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's start reading in verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, that word's agape, which is the new kind of love, the New Testament love, and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. He says, you're just noise if you're not walking in love. Your prayer is just noise if you're not walking in love. Think about that. Let's read it again. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You ever heard a kid play the drums that didn't know how to play the drums? Nothing pleasant about that. I mean, that's love in action, letting that kid bang away. No, there's nothing pleasant about it. It's just noise. It's just racket, a tinkling cymbal. And he says you could pray with the tongue of men and angels, but if you're not walking in love, all you did was make noise. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Notice how God views love. You could have all the word of wisdom in motion, prophecy in motion, mountain-moving faith built up. But if you don't have love, he says it profits you nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body over to be burned, if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. I think this is a reason why people's tithe is not working like it should. If you don't have love, no giving that you do, even if you gave your own life to be burned, it would profit you nothing if you didn't have love. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love, it doesn't envy. It's not vaunted up. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, and it seeks not her own. It is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity. That means it doesn't get excited about other people's sin. But rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. Love never fails. Love is the strongest force on this earth. God is love. There's nothing stronger than love. And when you're operating from this place of love, you're releasing the strength of God in your life. You know how you know when the presence of God is in a room? You'll feel loved. God is love. It's impossible to have God's presence in a room and not have love there too. He is love. When you're releasing that force of love in your life, you're not just releasing love. You're releasing God. When they were operating in the book of Acts under this heading of unity, they weren't just releasing unity. They were releasing God in their life. Friends, and I kid you not, this morning I woke up and the Lord brought a particular instance up in my heart, and he said, in that instance you were seeking your own and you need to go repent. Well, I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel like repenting. And if you'd asked me if I was wrong in that situation from a mental standpoint, I would have told you without a shadow of a doubt, I am not wrong. But as soon as he showed that up in my heart, I couldn't argue with it. I knew that I violated that side of love. I was seeking my own with that. Friend, I'm telling you, you got to watch it. Because if we don't have this undergirding of love, this force of love as our foundation, nothing else we're doing is going to work. Our faith is not, our giving is not, waking up at 5:30 and having a devotional. That does you no good if you go out and walk in strife with everyone you see at work. It doesn't do you any good. You could write the biggest check you've ever written in your whole life, but if you and your wife have division among you, it's profiting you nothing. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I got a whole notebook of notes that have absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now. But do you see, if you don't have this force of love, it's not profiting you anything. All that confession, all that prayer, it's just noise. All that worship, it's just noise. Without love, it's not profiting you a thing. Do you see how the enemy creeps up? And I'm telling you, at times of great increase, the enemy always brings up great opportunities for strife. It's just the way it is. You can almost mark it down. If it seems like that it's just, man, on every side something's coming up, it's because the enemy is trying to nullify your spiritual strength. And you've got to watch it. You've got to guard it and you've got to protect against it, because this force of love is to be the foundation upon which this year is to be built off of. That's why we said going into the year, two Wednesdays ago, that the greatest gift you can give that Christmas was the gift of forgiveness to someone. Because it's not just releasing them, it is releasing you. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look here in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin which thus easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice, and you know this if you've gone to this church for any length of time, if you're going to run the race that God has set for you this year, you've got to do something. You got to lay aside the weight, and you got to lay aside the sin that so easily besets you. If you're going to see any type of power in your life, you got to lay aside the weight. And you got to lay aside the sin. Now that, and obviously that's a huge subject. The subject of sin encompasses so many different areas. But one of the things specifically that often goes unnoticed, and it's like a weight that is strapped on someone, is this spirit of criticism. This division that so easily creeps in and starts separating you from people that you love. Like I said, the Bible emphasizes this periodically. When it mentions love, it highlights the people that are closest to you. That even the world will know us by how we love the brethren. That it's that word brethren is the people who are closest to you. That spirit of division will start trying to creep in, and it starts separating you from those people that God has called you to be close to. And when that happens, friend, it's all for a reason. It's a weight that's trying to keep you from running the race God has for you. And if we're ever going to see all God has for us in this year, we got to lay aside that junk. And just say under no uncertain terms, am I allowing strife, division, criticism, anything that's not 1 Corinthians chapter 13, under no uncertain terms am I allowing that in my life this year. I'm drawing a line not in the sand but in wet concrete, and then I'm blowing on it until it's dry. I'm drawing a line and saying nothing is crossing this. I'm committed to love. Go over to Matthew chapter 8. I think it's Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to get there before you and make sure. Matthew chapter 8. Yep. Look here in verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lie at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come underneath my roof, but speak the word only. I love that. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Watch this in verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers underneath me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now watch this in verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. Oh, I love that. Jesus had this man walk up to him who's got a servant who's sick to the point of death. He's asking Jesus to heal him. Jesus said, I'll go and heal him. He said, no, I'm not worthy that you come underneath my roof, but rather speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, when he says this, he's saying this with the knowledge of something. He's saying this with the knowledge of authority. This centurion, he's got a revelation of this subject. A centurion was someone who was over other people, and he had basically, if you're in the military, privates underneath his leadership, and he could tell them to go and they would go, to come and they would come, to do this and it would do it. And he took that framework of authority and said, Jesus, I know that just as I can command these individuals, you can command sickness. If you tell it to go, I know it will go. Jesus, when he heard that, he marveled. He turned away from the centurion, looked over his 12 disciples who have followed him for years, and said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. Think about that. He's telling these men, this guy's got a greater revelation of faith than you do. What was this revelation of faith made up of? This subject of authority. This past week, Susan, who's over member care here on the church staff, sent me, I think it was an email or maybe it was a text message. And she was asking me about a message that I preached over a year ago where I was preaching off of this passage of scripture. And I was talking about, and this would be good for you to do even this year, that you need to make out a list and write down everything that you want to go this year, everything you want to come this year, and what you want this year to do. You need to make out a list. And then understand this saying faith, that once you, what you want to go, tell it to go. What you want to come, tell it to come. And what you want this year to do, tell it to do it. Now, this is what we're talking about even on Sunday mornings, this concept of faith, that faith has this power to change our life. He turned the centurion and said, watch what he says here. Let's read it again in verse 13. And as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. He said another phrase like that over Mark chapter 9. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. As thou hast believed, so it be done unto you. So when we're speaking in faith, we're telling things to come. We're telling other things to go. We're telling this year to do some things. That's good. That's good. We all need to be doing that. You need to be doing that. But above all of that, is something else. He wasn't just telling his men to go and they would go. He wasn't just telling them to come and they would come. He wasn't just telling them to do something and they did it. Watch what he begins this scripture with in verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he does it. Watch this at the top of verse 9. For I am a man under authority. So it's not just him having authority. His authority would never work if he got out from underneath the military. If he didn't have the backing of the military, his words wouldn't matter. If he got from out up underneath authority, then his authority would lose its strength. If he violated his commander, I'm a man under authority. And because I'm underneath that authority, it gives me authority to tell these other men what to do. But if he came out from underneath his authority, paid no regard to the military commanders underneath him or over him, paid no regard to their instruction. If they told him, I want you to go over here, and he said, you know what? I don't feel like going today. I'm not going. He would lose his position of authority because he got out from underneath authority. And friend, I'm telling you, you and I, we are people of faith. We make no bones about it. This is a faith church. We believe in the subject of faith because we believe the words of Jesus. It's like, you know, I always say I got my teeth cleaned a couple of years ago, and I was getting them cleaned by this lady, and she was asking me what I did for a living. I said, I pastor Word of Life Church. And she said, oh, is that where they preach the whole Bible? I said, yes, we preach the whole Bible. Isn't that interesting, though? I believe the whole thing. I believe the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, being Jesus. So if Jesus appeared to me and told me something, I believe His Word carries that same kind of weight. He exalts His Word above His name. And here Jesus said, this is great faith in motion. What is this great faith? It's not just saying, well, I've got all this authority. I'm telling stuff to go and it goes. I'm telling stuff to come and it comes. I'm telling things to do this and they're doing it. No, that's part of it. But the first part of it is you're a man underneath authority. You're a woman who has a Lord. You're a man who has a master. And there is someone, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is over us. And in your life and mine, He will be faithful to give us instruction. And when we submit ourselves over to that instruction, and we submit ourselves underneath His authority, then we can step up with no fear this year and start telling, do this and it does it, to come and it comes, to go and it goes. But if we back out from underneath that authority, if He's dealing with our heart to do some things and we're not laying aside the weights and the sin that He's dealing with our hearts to let go of, if we're allowing this issue of strife and criticism to come into our life, if we allow that to take us out of His authority, to remove us from that place of power, then friend, none of our words will have any effect. We've got to come underneath His authority and underneath His lordship. From that place of authority, it gives us the authority to have power this year. Friend, I want to encourage you, stay under His authority. Stay under His lordship. Whatever He's telling you to do, do it. And above all else this year, above all else, guard your love walk. Be quick to repent and be quick to forgive. I say that and close with this. Be quick to repent. What does repent mean? It means when you miss it, you admit that you miss it. Not only to God, but to the people you missed it with. If you need to repent to someone, repent to them. If you need to come to your wife and say, I was not patient, I was not kind, forgive me. Be quick to repent. If you need to go to God and say, you know what, God, no one else knows this but you, but I know you know the thoughts and intentions of a man's heart. In my heart, I was judging that person. In my heart, I had a critical spirit towards them. And I want you to forgive me. I repent. Be quick to repent. If you need to go to a coworker and say, you know what, that conversation we had last week, I know that we shouldn't have been talking that way, and I just want to repent to you. I should not have allowed those words to come out of my mouth. Quick to repent. And then be quick to forgive. Don't hold a grudge. Don't sit there and say, you're right, you were short-tempered. I mean, you talk that way every time. And if we're ever going to get anywhere in this relationship, you need to learn how to talk nice to me. No, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Say, you know what? I forgive you. When someone wrongs you, even if they don't come and repent, be quick to forgive. I forgive them, Lord. I don't allow any of that bitterness in my heart. I'm staying underneath your authority. I'm not going to be just noise this year. All my, I'm telling you what, I'm ramping up my confession more than ever before. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm ramping up my prayer life more than ever before. I'm ramping it up. Oh, I'm praying more than ever before. I've got my confession list made out, and I'm faithful to write the vision every morning. I'm confessing it. I'm believing it. Heaven's kissing earth for me this year. I mean, I'm going to see it. But I'm telling you what, in the process of all of that, if I don't guard this love issue, if I'm not quick to forgive and quick to repent, all of it was just noise. I didn't say it. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 said it, didn't it? Doesn't faith work by love? Come on now, doesn't faith work by love? In the greatest of these things, love, it's greater than faith. It's greater than hope. The greatest thing in all the world is love. And if I'm operating outside the realm of love, I'm operating outside the realm of God, for God is love. But in love, when I'm walking in love, being quick to forgive, quick to repent, my confession is sharp. My prayers are powerful. When I'm guarding my heart, walking in that unity, staying of one heart, one voice, one mind, when I've got that, power is showing up in my life. When I release love, I'm releasing God. When you're releasing love, you're releasing God. What if our homes were filled with the presence of God because we were just determined to only have love there? What if our cars, our kids, they never heard you argue, and they were filled with love? Don't you think it'd make a difference in their life? Friend, I'm telling you, it wouldn't just make a difference in their life, because they will remember far more what you do than what you say. Not only will it make a difference in their life, but it will make a difference on the job, on your sales calls, having favor with people you need to have favor with. It will make all the difference in the world. When you release love, you release God all at the same time. Stay underneath His authority, underneath the authority of God, which also means I'm underneath the authority of love, for God is love. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come before You tonight. We thank You, Lord, this year is filled with Your goodness. Father, we thank You, everything that needs to go this year goes. Everything that needs